I'm doing wonderful. I am so glad my friend Grant Malloy Smith had the time to call in. He has been, he's a musician that I just love. In fact, I've been blessed to have him on about three of my CDs, and I love all the beautiful, beautiful pieces you've written. You also are with a wonderful group called the Indie Coalition, which does a wonderful thing for independent musicians, and you have been traveling a lot. You went to Tennessee for your new amazing new release called Appalachia. You've gone to Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, of course, with Appalachia, and Kentucky and West Virginia. 2,700 miles. You're one traveling man, my man. How are you?
Good. And that's a lot of windshield time. But, you know, I know you can't do that where you live. You have to either take a boat or an airplane to change locations drastically. But
you could drive around in circles. We could drive around the island, which takes about 4 hours if you're lucky, and we could just go in circles. But that's about the limit of where we're driving. Where we're driving to. But I know you always have traveled a lot because you are an amazing performer. Except that changed, of course, because last year you pretty much weren't able to go and perform in any of your typical locations, were you?
Right. That's right. And that was a big change for me. I mean, I'm on the road for literally decades, and suddenly, of course, everything got canceled. And not just for me, I'm not crying the blues. Everybody's fun got canceled starting about a year and a half ago. So, you know, we just have to make do. And I was lucky enough that I could do a little bit of traveling. I only did it by car. You know, I had to observe all the local regulations about if you have to wear a mask or not. But we got to find a way to, you know, keep getting things done.
Yeah. So,
when I made that big long trip, I made some music videos. That was one of the main goals I had for that trip. And boy, I got them done, and one of them's coming out very soon.
Well, you know what? I saw both, and they are excellent, excellent, excellent. Since you're a traveling man musician, you and your guitar, and you play in lots and lots of places all around the country, typically. You do a lot of it on your own with a lot of help from great musicians backing you up when you need to record. Mm-hmm. But since the things and times have changed so much, you've seen over the years, many years since you've been playing, that basically if you're putting out a new release like you are with Appalachia, you have to do the music video, and it's time consuming and it's expensive and it takes a lot of thought. So when you were traveling, you went to two different states for your music videos, didn't you? Went to Virginia for the Appalachia one, and then you went to Tennessee for the other one, right?
Well, actually, the first video I made for this Appalachia record was I made it in Kentucky, down in a coal mine.
Wow.
It's a theme record about Appalachia. So, you know, that's the Kentucky, West Virginia, Eastern Tennessee, Western Virginia, and the western parts of the Carolinas. Where traditionally we've had coal mining and forestry and those kind of industries that are, waning nowadays. And so it's a cultural, it's like when Pittsburgh couldn't really make steel anymore back in the 70s and 80s, they had to reinvent themselves as a different kind of a city. The same thing is happening to a lot of Appalachia. And some of it's been successful so far and some of it hasn't. But, you know, it's a process. It's not going to be changed overnight. But anyway, the first video I made was in a coal mine because, you know, there's a couple of songs that are related to the coal because it's such an important part of the history of Appalachia. And the most recent ones I made were in eastern Tennessee. There's a song about river baptisms, which is kind of a thing in the South and in Appalachia in particular, where people go with their pastor or their preacher right down into the middle of the river and get baptized, you know. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It could be you. 80 years old, you could be 18 years old, but it's a fun song about that. So there we were, right at the river in East Tennessee, making a video. We had drones flying over with cameras in them, and it was great. We did a real actual baptism during the video, which is captured on film.
You actually stood in the river with your guitar. You were there up to above your knees in the water, getting wet.
Yep.
Singing your music and it came out really nice. And it was, you know, it was nice. You had the, were those regular people singing backup, or were they just recorded backup singers? That was really, it felt good with the backup singing and everything.
Yeah, well, we had some folks from a church and
singing
backup vocals. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
All those people in the video are actually from the church, and there were two pastors in the river, and they're actually their pastors, and they did a real baptism right there with one of the members of the church.
Oh, that is something, and it's something that we don't really do here very
right.
often. Definitely not in Hawaii. I don't think I've ever seen a baptism. I'm sure they probably happen, but we don't have any real deep rivers here that you could do. I could do it in a pool. We got a lot of pools, and we certainly have the ocean, but not a lot of real deep rivers to do that in.
And, yeah. Well, you don't want to be too deep. You don't want to be over your head.
No, you didn't get baptized, though, huh? No,
I was baptized as a child, so I didn't feel the need yet to have it done again, but what do I know? Maybe I need it.
So do you have roots that go back to these areas? I mean, it's in your blood and your family, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Both sides of my family were from Appalachia. And the only reason I didn't grow up there is because they left. My parents left there. My father became a Navy pilot, and then so they left that area. And so I grew up in the farther south in the northern part of Florida up by Alabama. But my family on both sides are from mostly eastern Kentucky. After we made the videos last month, we drove up there and spent a few days with my second and third cousins and people like that are still up there.
Wow. What was it like for you traveling around to all these places? Were you playing or what were you doing going? Because you hit quite a few states. What were you doing in that time?
Yeah, no, there weren't any shows. I visited family. I went to a music convention in Nashville. But most of the time was spent making the videos, and it takes a lot of planning, and it took more than a few days to get all the footage that we needed.
And then
it takes a bunch of days to drive, too, because, you know, like you said, it was an almost 3,000-mile round trip.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And during that time, of course, we're talking COVID when you were doing all this stuff. And so you had to deal with all of those issues as well.
Let
alone, I was wondering how you even do, it must be hard to get good lighting in a coal mine, right? It's like, it's rather dark, rather dark down there.
Yes. Luckily, this was a coal mine in Harlan County, Kentucky it had been closed for coal mining years ago, and they use it now for tourists, but it's been closed because of COVID. And closed for more than a year.
Wow.
So the company that runs it was having renovations done. They brought in a big construction crew to make better walkways, to dig down in some places so people wouldn't have to, you know, bump their head on the very low ceilings, and to put better lighting in. So they allowed me to shoot on Sunday when there was no workers there, you know, doing anything.
Ah.
And so we did that. We were there all day Sunday down in the coal mine. I think I bumped my head about 87,000 times.
Oh, my God. It's a good thing you wear a cowboy hat. A cowboy hat kind of keeps you from
getting... There's a few black marks on my hat that will not come out. They're never coming out.
So what was it like being in a coal mine? How did you feel? I would feel, I've never been in a coal mine, I would feel rather claustrophobic.
Yeah, if you were prone to claustrophobia, you would definitely feel it down there. I can't imagine, when I was down there the whole day, I was thinking, I can't imagine spending most of my waking hours from most of my life here. Back then, you know, a lot of times they couldn't walk upright at all inside a coal mine, except maybe out by the mouth of it, by the portal. And so you're hunched over all day long in there digging and cutting and drilling and setting charges. They're lying on their backs, they're on their knees, they're lying on their back upside down. To do that, the work is hard enough without having to be on your belly or on your knees and hunched over all day long. I can't imagine what they went through.
I'd never thought about that. I'd never thought that you aren't standing up straight, that you've got to hunch over that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and besides what gets in your lungs, you know, just the particles and the breathing and the air and everything. It's something, of course, that we don't really think about much, and we certainly don't think here in Hawaii at all, but... My gosh, it was, when you think of how long and how many people and how many families were affected by that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your song was really...
I had relatives that got injured in coal mines and had some of them got black lung disease from breathing in dust for, coal dust for decades.
Did you feel that when you were down there? I mean, because you have that in your family and you could, I mean, it's got to be such an oppressive feeling. I mean, your song is beautiful. Your song is very touching and makes sense. It's a very well-written song. You know, when you, it's got to come up, you got to move that coal out and up, you know, and it's a work. It's a working man's song. I think at the roots of all right. country, and I think even folk music, I couldn't help but thinking of Arlo mm-hmm. Guthrie and people who, right. you know, I listen to your music, and I feel that folk, the people, the Americana roots yeah. there that feel that pain of the working people, and that you seem to always be able to capture an empathy for that feeling. Is that because of the fact that you had that kind of surroundings and family that went through those things?
Oh, that's definitely part of it, and it's definitely the inspiration for doing it. And then I set out to, when I make records, I don't just put a bunch of songs on it. I set out to make a record about something, about a topic. Like my previous one was about the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
And this one's about Appalachia. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do for my next one, but I like to write albums that where every song fits in and means something and captures some part of the culture or the history, or a little bit of both, or something that's important about the region or about the topic at hand. And that's what I like doing. That's what I'm going to do forever now, I think.
Okay, you're the...
So
you're
for
the,
me, it's very fulfilling.
You're the Ken Burns of folk country music, right? Americana.
I don't like that. I wish I was as successful as he is, but yeah. that's the same thing. He picks a topic, and then he really does a great job documenting it, you know, with pictures and film and everything and narration. And I sort of do the same thing, but with music, you know, without any pictures. Although with this one, I did write a book that goes with the record.
I didn't know that. Seriously? Pictures. There's a book you wrote with it?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you write? Is it just basically going into each song's story in the book?
Exactly. And some of them have quite a long story. Some of them just have maybe a page, but a page is 11 by 11 inches because it comes with a big vinyl record and a CD. But,
you went vinyl.
It's an 11-inch book.
You went vinyl.
I did. The first time that I ever made a vinyl record of my own.
Oh, I love that. You know, I mean, I'm here in a studio where ages ago when I was in radio and started mm-hmm. radio, we have vinyl. So we still have some vinyl mm-hmm. records here in the studio going back when, you know, way back when. So was it a process creating a vinyl record?
Yeah, I learned a lot from it because I never had done it before, and there's a lot to it. It takes a lot longer than making a CD. I know you've made many CDs, and basically you can upload your artwork and your audio files and enter in some metadata, and then a few weeks later, you have a beautiful stack of shiny CDs waiting for you, and I promise you it's not that easy or fast with vinyl. It took just about 4 months to have it made, and it's a lot more expensive. But I thought for this record I really wanted to kind of harken back to the old-fashioned records that I grew up with, that we both grew up with, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. And they're making a resurgence. Did you know that last year, even during COVID, more vinyl records were sold than CDs?
Wow.
For the first time in 40
years? I did hear
years?
That. And, you know, that blew my mind. That blew yeah. my mind. And I can understand, since you say it's so much more work, that I believe vinyl records can be more than CDs in cost now, right?
Oh, they are. They cost a lot more to make, so you have to sell them for more, unfortunately, but there's just something really cool about it. I also give people a CD when they buy the album. So, and you can also just get
like
it with
that.
The CD, and if you're never going to have a record player.
So
I've had a lot of people buy it just because they want the vinyl record. And I've seen people, they've sent me pictures where they mounted it, and they've got frames where you can put the album cover on one side, and you can have the record showing on the other side, and they mount them and put them. You know, the people that are connoisseurs of that kind of thing.
Did CD Baby do the vinyl? How did you have to go to another company to do the vinyl record?
Yeah, I didn't use them, but there's a bunch of companies out there now that do it. They also do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of companies. I found one that offered a good deal at the time I was having them made earlier in the year, and I went with them. It's they came out really well, and I used a very heavy vinyl, weight. So it's 180 grams, which is about the heaviest you can get, just to make sure they last a long time and don't, you know, warp and all that kind of thing.
Did you play it?
I did. It was so much fun to do that.
Isn't it? I mean, years and years as a DJ, I loved having segues between albums, and you know, and you could cue it up so it could go from one album to the other, and you can't do that with CDs the same way, you know. So it's kind of cool. I wanted to ask you about something you posted on your website, you've got a beautiful website, by the way, where people can check out the album and everything about it, and you'll be checking out the Cole Comes Up song and when that comes out there as well. And down to Hatchepi Road, and you have that out. You have the YouTube picture out now. Your website is what? What's the best website for you?
It's just my three names, the ones my mama gave me, Grant, and then Malloy, M-A-L-O-Y, just one L, Smith, just the old boring Smith name, .com. You can put hyphens between the names, or you don't have to. It'll automatically add them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
GrantMalloySmith.com.
Oh, that's cool. And you're on Facebook. And I have to say, too, I've gone to quite a few of your indie collabs. You have done them for years. Some you did in New York. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've gone to the one in L.A. around the time of the Grammys that you did. Beautifully produced, wonderfully done. I'm sure you've been bombarded with people saying, when's the next indie collab? It's a beautiful gathering of independent artists coming together and getting a chance to perform in a high-class location because everyone shares the cost of it. So it's a brilliant idea.
Well, we've got four of them coming up, and two of them are showcases where our members can apply to, you know, have a five-minute slot to show their friends what they can do, and the other two are something that we just started doing a couple of years ago, a produced show where Eileen and I, Eileen is the co-founder of the Indie Collaborative, where we create a show, we write the theme, we actually kind of figure out what the show is going to be about and pick the music, and then we pick the artists too. The first one we did was 3 years ago, we did Carnegie Hall, and we're going to do that again but next year. But the next very next showcase that's coming up is in Newport, Rhode Island, very far for anyone from Hawaii to get to.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one that's much closer in a minute. That's in September 19th, coming up just in about 3 weeks.
Wow, okay.
Then we're doing a production show at Lincoln Center.
Oh, my.
December 8th, this year in New York City.
Ah.
And then the next showcase, we just announced this today, as a matter of fact, is going to be at the Clive Davis Theater in the Grammy Museum in downtown Los Angeles on January 29th.
That is the year. Isn't that the day before the Grammys?
It's 2 days before. The Grammys are going to be on Monday this year for the first time in I don't know how long. Normally they're on Sunday.
Yeah.
But they're on Monday this year. But we couldn't get the venue for Sunday, but we got it for a Saturday in the afternoon. So people can still go out at night and have fun and do whatever they're going to do on Saturday night before the Grammys.
That is so
And then the Carnegie Hall show comes up in April in New York.
That's fantastic. You got great locations. That's so exciting. How do people find out more if they're independent artists and they want to jump on board or find out more? How do they find out more about that?
Yeah, just go to Indie Collaborative, so I-N-D-I-E, collaborative.com. You can join us for free. You don't have to win a Grammy. You don't have to be a member of anything in particular. You can just, if you're serious about music or the arts in general, we also have dancers and poets and comedians and people that are in the business, too, on the behind the scenes, like people who or photographers or videographers or makeup artists, you know, people like that. So it's all people involved in the entertainment field one way or another, in front of the camera or behind it. You could just join us for free, and then you'll be in our Facebook group. You can join on the website, be a member of that, and get access to members-only content. And it's a lot of fun. And we're very supportive. We don't have any contests or anything like that because we don't want to set people against each other. We want to. Our purpose is to have musicians support each other,
and they do, absolutely.
Yes.
Well,
they
it's
do.
Been a treat talking to you, Grant. It's been too long since we didn't get to see each other last year, but I look forward to seeing you next January. A big aloha to you.
Good. I hope you're going to be. Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. I'm planning to be there.
Oh, that's fantastic! Fantastic! Can't wait. I'll give you a COVID hug. COVID safe hug.
And
I got vaccinated.
Good luck with Appalachia. You pronounce it not Appalachia. You pronounce it you don't say
Appalachia.
Appalachia. I've learned something new today.
Yeah, like latch on a door.
Appalachia.
I heard something today. I never heard this before, but it's people from the region typically say Appalachia and everyone else says Appalachia. It doesn't matter. Either one is right. But I heard somebody from Appalachia today say, if you pronounce it Appalachia, I will throw an Appalachia.
Okay, that's good. That's classic. Oh, it's always a treat talking to you, my friend. And thanks so much for calling in. We'll stay in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, Cindy. Aloha.
Aloha.